Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, this is the last Forex Fridays we're going to have for the year, but it seems that the Forex space isn't short of any possible stories, especially with recent rumblings this week about the Trump administration targeting both Vietnam and Switzerland as currency manipulators. Of course, still a lot of questions heading into the year ahead. How strong can the yuan flex? Will eroding China-Australia relations weigh on the Aussie in the future? And what do we make about this roller coaster ride that the pound has been on, given all of these Brexit undulations? These are just a number of questions we're going to be answering today on Forex Fridays, joined by Mr. Stephen Innes, the Chief Market Strategist for the Asia-Pacific region at Axie Corp. He's joining us for the last show of the year and helping us recap the very memorable year that was, and also his outlook for the year ahead. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you are still in good health, and you and your loved ones are all in good health up in Bangkok. And welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks a lot, JP. Thanks for having me on the last show of the year.
Absolutely. And you know, again, the hits don't seem to stop. And though we are in the last days of the Trump administration, it seems that they're not done. There's that last minute salvo where they're targeting both Vietnam and Switzerland as potential currency manipulators. Give us your thoughts on whether Forex markets should take these seriously, given the fact that we're in the last few weeks of the Trump administration, and if this might actually just fade away or be swatted away once Joe Biden moves into the White House.
Make a probably a longer story very short. I say it won't affect, and pretty much given the fact that the relationships between Asia and U.S. will probably placate to a great degree, and I don't think the Biden presidency will be as focused on currency markets as what the Trump administration was. So I think for the great part, they'll be sidestepped. Switzerland's a little bit of a different situation. First of all, Switzerland doesn't care. They're going to continue to do what they do with the currency because they're using it as a monetary policy tool. They don't care what the Treasury says. However, interesting part was the fact that the head of the currency areas at the Swiss National Bank suggested that he has easier time negotiating with President Trump than the Democrats than what he did with Obama during the Democrat year. So I don't know what that says, and I don't know what that really means or what it even implies. But overall, it's not going to change what the Swiss National Bank does with their currency. See, they're just an independent organization, and they'll do what they see fit to manage their money supply and their internal dynamics around monetary policy.
Right. This year we've seen the label currency manipulator really thrown around and bandied. Among the favorite targets of the Trump administration also has been China, which has been accused in the past by the U.S. as a currency manipulator. Now, we've talked about the yuan strength, Stephen, in the second half of the year, and renminbi bulls think the yuan could flex as far as 6 to the dollar, while some think that resistance at 6.5 will be harder to crack than most. What do you think is the renminbi's potential now in 2021, given its recent momentum and this dogged resistance we're starting to see signs of at that 6.5 level?
Well, I think it all becomes down to really what the U.S. dollar does on the broader landscape. Right now, it looks like global central bankers are keeping financial conditions quite easy to support risk sentiment. For the most part, currency risk has been really driven by risk sentiment. So when the U.S. dollar loses its safe haven appeal, other currencies strengthen. But we're starting to see some idiosyncratic moves under the surface now, particularly in the euro, where last week's purchasing PMI sort of rang a few alarm bells here, positive, mind you, that backyards are pretty active. And so our stockyards pretty active, given the fact we're supposed to be locked down. Germany's PMI soared. So, I mean, this is suggesting that, you know, once we get the vaccine rollout, these growth-related currencies could actually continue to strengthen. Bringing that back into the Asia scrim, I think you can't have a rally, full-blooded currency rally or U.S. dollar sell-off if you don't have both sides of the equation working. What I'm referring to is euro and China. My view here is that China, because of its trade situation and benefiting from the uptick of the vaccine spreading throughout the world, which is going to open up supply channels, export supply chains and channels a lot more easily, the RMB is going to strengthen. I don't think they can avoid that. I don't think they even want to perceive that they want to avoid that because of those lingering huge trade concerns and huge trade areas are sort of posing a deflationary problem globally in the fact that, you know, here we are, we're stuck buying everything again from China. So I think there has to be some give on the RMB front just to keep the global communities happening. So I'm anticipating a stronger RMB. My target's down to 620. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets down to 6 at some point during 2021 on a dollar sell-off overshoot.
We're still speaking to Stephen Innes, the Chief Market Strategist for the Asia Pacific at Axie Corp here on Forex Fridays. Let's stay with China and their relations with one of the more important trading partners, which has really fallen on hard times. That's with Australia. Now, China before it was believed that China probably wouldn't target some of these Australian commodities that their industrial expansion would need, such as coal and metals. And these were once thought as essential to China's growth initiative. However, things seem to have changed and soured for the worst. They have that coal ban right now on Australian coal, for instance. Could the backlash from Australia's biggest trading partner prove to be the big challenge for an economy down under that seems to be doing an impressive job of recovering, and thus also prove to be the biggest challenge for the Aussie heading into 2021? Is this the next big hurdle or headache that Scott Morrison and the folks down in Australia have to deal with?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of issues with the commodity, whether we're hitting a commodity super cycle or whether the commodity uptick is really driven by the global supply chain constraints that are causing problems getting commodities into China for the most part. I think the China-Australia situation a little bit more unique. China's got their fill, and actually some of the importers have actually bought more than their licensing allocation, so I think there's a little bit of a pushback. But this is supposed to be a free, you know, sort of open border kind of situation, but I think what we're seeing is probably a little bit more slide from China trying to protect their domestic industries, allowing those domestic miners to pick up a little bit of the movement right now. And I do think once the licensings renew into the new year for Australia, things will look a lot prettier. But let's look to see what the Aussie dollar is really getting driven on over the past year. It's a risk-driven sentiment currency, and it really trades a strong high beta to the SPX or the S&P 500, I should say. And that really, really seems to be driving the Australian dollar for the most part. Also, to a great degree, we're probably going to see a probably steady as you go policy. I don't think the RBA is going to be moving into negative interest rate territory. This is probably a favorable thing for the Australian dollar. However, I have a view on the overall reflation trade going into Q1. I think we've completely underpriced the propensities of lockdowns that may need to be really reinstated in Q1. I think there's a high chance that governments around the world are going to do their last ditch efforts to eradicate this vaccine, the virus, once and for all by instituting severe lockdowns in Q1 if hotspots show up again. Because right now it doesn't appear that these rolling lockdowns are actually effective at controlling the spread to a great degree, because a lot of people are still breaking the rules. And this is a bit of a problem. So I'm looking at the Q1 as sort of a downer, but certainly with the vaccines then getting redistributed in Q1, it's certainly going to reflate the economies as we move forward. It's just how we balance those two off, the Q1 versus the Q2 bounce, how we do eventually balance those off is yet to be seen. My view is we're going to have a little bit of a reflationary washout in Q1 before we start to accelerate back into Q2.
And, you know, Stephen, when we talk about the Forex space, we have to talk about the British pound and these Brexit talks that are going down to the wire. We've seen this roller coaster for the better part of the last 4 years and repeat it again. Last week, we saw this despair weigh on the pound sterling. This week, some hope, although Prime Minister Boris Johnson has now said that talks, there is still a possibility that no deal will be reached. The Bank of England also toying with negative rates in the future. What are you watching out for amid this myriad of drivers that could influence cable?
Unfortunately, there's nothing to watch out for except for the headlines, and that's the problem. You're really creating a headline risk. I think we're seeing some of the best probably Academy Award winning actors playing out on this political stage right now. This is brinkmanship to its best. I just think both sides don't want to give out the impression that they're giving in. I think Johnson particularly is under significant political pressure, so he wants to appear that he's won this deal. So they want probably a little bit more concession from the EU. Look at, the EU doesn't have to concede anything right now, and that's the problem. And that's what keeps on coming back to the heart of the matter here, is how does Boris Johnson save face to his party? Remember, the Brexiteers are dominating in his party, and they just don't want this deal to go through anyway. So there's a bit of save face, and there's a little bit of how this deal gets tabled to make it look like the UK, at least in Johnson's eyes, are coming out with the ones making the least concession. I still like the pound. I still like the pound on dips, but I think we're reaching to that point where we're reaching peak Brexit optimism. So maybe we go up to about 137. Then I think the economics of it all starts to play into the currency markets, where there'll be more profit-taking setting in. However, the big if here, and this is a big question that we don't really know, is whether real money is going to start flooding back into the domestic stock markets. We don't know if that's happening. We don't see it happening right now, but we don't know if that's going to happen before the new year, after the new year, or sometime later in the year. And this is a big difficult factor. It's the real money element that we're completely unsure what's how the pound will trade on that response. My feeling is the downside is quite limited on the pound. I'd love to be owning the pound closer to 130, though, but you know, we'll have to see how that plays out in the first early parts of 2021.
And finally, Stephen, you did hit on that. There is some expectations that fund flows will start to chase yields in emerging and Asian markets while rates remain lower for longer. And also on that case that the dollar will continue to soften. If this does happen, which market and effectively currency in the region might get the most upside from potential fund flows from your point of view?
Well, I think obviously we will be paying attention to the bigger ones, you know, the Korea and Taiwan and the yuan are generally, when it comes to equity inflows, those are the ones. However, looking a little bit more beneath the surface here, I'm looking to the confluence of commodity market strength, and also with a catch-up propensity, along with the fact that if the Feds keep rates quite low, this allows central banks to monetize government debt more effectively in the region. So I'm looking at the Indonesian rupiah, and I'm actually looking at the Malaysian ringgit on a catch-up play. These are my two favorite Asia emerging market countries leading into 2021. So that's predicated on that thing I just talked about, that reflationary washout not happening. But if I was asked for a positive view, assuming that things were just going to go on effectively, those two currencies would be the ones that I'd be piling into with a higher propensity, as opposed to the ones that are already closer to their peak propensities right now.
Stephen Innes, Chief Market Strategist for the Asia Pacific at Axie Corp. Thank you so much for spending time with us on our last Forex Fridays for the year. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety as we head into the new year. But first and foremost, have a great holiday season ahead. Cheers, sir.
Thanks, JP. Have a good one.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.